The following message from Bible teacher and pastor Jim Crabb is brought to you by Imago Dei Christian Fellowship in Westchester, Ohio.
But it's in a lot of people's lives, maybe it's dark and it feels like what it must have felt like the day that Jesus died, when things looked hopeless and things looked lost. And, you know, his disciples were confused when that started happening. Sometimes when things get dark, I've been through the dark places, haven't you? I've walked through the valley of the shadow of death. I've walked in places where it was difficult and hard and lonely and where fear was knocking at the door. I've been there. We've walked those places. I've walked those places when everything I believed, what was happening in my life, was contrary to what I believed and what I'd spoken and what I stood for. Amen. We've walked in those places where it was like what we believed God for was mocked because everything other than that was happening in our lives. We've been betrayed. We talked about that Thursday night. Jesus was betrayed. We understand. We've all been betrayed. We've been forsaken. We've been forgotten. People have been unfaithful. It's just part of life. We've been there. But I'll tell you what. We know through all those things, whether it's death or dying or betrayal or whatever you're going through today. If you lost your job, you've lost all your money. They took you. Maybe they foreclosed on your house. Maybe they took your car, repossessed your car. Doesn't matter. Maybe your spouse walked out on you. But I want you to know if you're a believer today, if there is hope through every dark thing in life, that's the message of the Easter message. There is always hope because of Jesus today. And I'm asking you to connect with the Word of God today and the power of the Holy Ghost. Let's get something from heaven today for the glory and for the goodness of God. Amen. Let's look in our Bibles this morning to the book of Matthew. And we'll study a little bit about that day. And I know, you know, we sometimes read these scriptures that are known scriptures over and over. But I believe they can come alive to us this morning. We have to remember what was happening on that day. Let's begin reading, if we can, in verse 35. We'll just start with kind of toward the end of the crucifixion story. Matthew 27, 35. And it says in Matthew 27, 35, and they crucified him. I didn't say they wounded him. I said they crucified him. We need to remember what a horrible death Jesus died. What a price that he paid. How horrid this was. You know, crucifixion is known to be a wicked death. It's a difficult death. And they'd put that crown of thorns on his head, pushed it down. His head was swollen up like a basketball, and he was unrecognizable as a human. I said he was crucified. Everybody say he was crucified. It was a bad death. It was a horrible death. And why did he do it? He did it because you and I are not good, but because we haven't been good. Because we were all under the verdict of sin. The verdict came down. We've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. And that's why Jesus was crucified. Because somebody had to die for the sins of mankind. And Jesus said, I'll do it. And they crucified him. They parted his garments. In other words, they gambled for his garments. They tore his garments first. They were casting lots, gambling. You know, people minimize. Even when I'm preaching, it's amazing how people just seem to minimize the moment that they have with Christ. Every moment we're hearing the word is a moment we should, I don't know, sit up a little straighter in my view. Put our backbone a little up and put our ear to the track and hear what the Spirit of God is saying to us about this thing. You can't minimize what was happening. The cross, how wicked was that? He didn't do anything. Yet he's paying the price for what I did, for what you did, and what you would do. There's just a few people there. His mother's there. Mary Magdalene is there. John, the beloved, is the loved disciple, his closest associate, the one that maybe understood him the most. He's there. But nobody that he fed, when the hillside, when he fed 25 plus thousand that day, none of them were there. None of them were there. They forgot about that. The widow that he interrupted the funeral for her son, he stopped the funeral and touched the casket and raised her son from the dead. She didn't seem to be there. All the rest of the disciples were hiding and mocking. Peter was denying that he knew him. See, this is all part of what we got to get to before you get to the resurrection. This is what Jesus went through for you and me. There's a handful of people out of the hundreds of thousands. Maybe, John, last verse of the book of John says, if it was written down everything Jesus did during his 3.5 years, I suppose that the world couldn't hold the books. That's one of my favorite verses in the Bible, man. In other words, the libraries of the world couldn't handle the deeds of Jesus and what was written. This is a down payment. This is just a cliff notes almost of what Jesus did in the earth. He did so many things that John said, I don't think they could all be. Where was everybody? They're all gone. And God, when I read that, I just feel a little pierce in my heart saying, Pastor, I don't care how long you've been saved, don't you ever minimize what Jesus did in your life. You always value what he did and appreciate the price that he paid, the cross that he died on, the blood that he shed, the mockery, the humiliation, the all that Christ went through for our sin. He did it for me and you. Can I hear amen? So they're minimizing him. They cast lots for his garments, so it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet. They parted my garments among them, and upon my vesture they cast lots. And sitting down, they watched him there. And they set up over his head his accusation, which was written, this is Jesus, the King of the Jews. You know why Jesus died, man? It was because he said he was the King of the Jews. And they got so angry at him. Then there were two thieves crucified with him. One on the right hand and another on the left. And they that passed by reviled him. They mocked him. And they wagged their heads. They were people. Isn't it amazing? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. God in the flesh comes to the world, loves everybody, heals people, ministers to people, raises the dead, cleanses lepers, sets people free, casts out devils, and mankind gets ticked off about it. And as they walked by him, hanging there, dying, wrongfully accused, they're mocking him, reviling him, wagging their heads in their disgust for him. I made up my mind in my lifetime, I'm going to make up for for humanity's disgust here. Once I realized who Christ was, I said, Lord, come into my life and I'll glorify you. I'll never wag my head, mock you. I'll never be apathetic about you. I'll have the zeal of your house will consume me. I'll help people until I die. I will minister the gospel until I don't have any voice any longer. Amen. We'll carry the gospel to the ends of the world and preach the gospel. When all the earth gets silent, if the church ever gets cold and dries up and dies, I commit to you, God, because of who you are in my life, I will praise you. If nothing else is left but the rocks and Pastor Crab, we're going to shout and we're going to live for you. We're going to live for you. These two thieves were there, and they're being crucified next to him. And people that were passing by in verse 40 said, "You that destroy the temple and build it in 3 days," because that's what Jesus said he was going to do. See, they heard, they didn't hear what he was really saying. He was talking about being raised from the dead. He looked at the temple there, and he had told everybody, "You guys destroy that temple and I'll raise it again in 3 days." He's talking about the resurrection of this temple, his temple. And they used what he preached against him in mockery. And they said, "You that are going to destroy the temple and build it again in 3 days," look what they said in the middle of verse 40. "Why don't you first save yourself?" In other words, you that said you're going to change the world and you're going to do, you're the king of the Jews, you can't even save yourself from Roman soldiers. Save yourself. But if you be the Son of God, come on and come down from the cross. See, you know, sometimes in our lives as Christians, when it's the dark time, when it's the things we go through to get to the resurrection. I'm telling you, I've learned this, man. There's a resurrection at the end of every problem that I face. Ha! I said there's a resurrection at the end of every difficulty, of every trial, of everything I go through. I'm telling you, there's a resurrection at the end of it. I don't care how dark it is, how bad it is. I don't care how many times it seemed that way. I'm telling you, there is a resurrection at the end of that thing. And in the middle of our trouble, when it's still like Friday and Saturday, when it's still not Sunday yet, when it's not resurrection time, people will mock us about that. And we have this tendency to think within ourselves, "God, you didn't do what you said you were going to do. It's not worked out like what was preached to me." They were trying to tell him, "Come on, if you really are the Son of God and you're who you say you are, save yourself and come down from the cross." Likewise, also the chief priests mocked him, and the scribes and the elders. They said, "He saved himself. He saved others, but himself he cannot save. If he be the king of Israel, let him come down now from the cross, and we will believe him." I hope you really mean that, brothers. I hope you mean what you just said. Because in a minute, he's going to do more than come down from the cross, Pastor Terry. He's going to do more than come down from the cross. I said he's going to do more than come down from the cross. He's not just going to physically get off the cross. They said, "If you can get off that cross, we're going to believe." We're going to see if they will in just a minute. Verse 43, "He trusted in God. Let God now deliver him if he will have him. For he said, I am the Son of God." The thieves also, which were crucified with him, cast the same in his teeth. In other words, they were saying the same thing. They were gritting their teeth and angry about this. "Now from the sixth hour," in other words, at 6 hours after in the sixth hour of the crucifixion, "darkness was over all the land until the ninth hour. And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani. That is to say, my God, why have you forsaken me?" You know how dark it can get when you're there and it feels like everybody's mocking me. Nobody's left. Nobody understands. And even Jesus in the humanity part of Jesus cried out, "God, at this time when he's beginning to die, Lord, why have you forsaken me? Why am I in this situation?" You know how many situations we've all been in and we wonder, why am I in this situation? I thought I was a Christian. I thought being a Christian meant only going through the good time and the sun shining and all these great things happening. I didn't know it included all this. And we can all, like Jesus here, begin to doubt God. Some of them stood there, and when they heard that, they said, "This man's calling for Elijah." And straightway, one of them ran and took a sponge, filled it with vinegar, put it on a reed, gave him to drink. The rest said, "Let be. Let us see whether Elijah will come to save him." And Jesus, when he cried again with a loud voice, he yielded up the ghost. In other words, Jesus gave up his spirit and he died. But when he did, behold, the veil of the temple was rent in two from the top to the bottom. And the earth did quake and the rocks tore. And the graves and the graves were opened. And many bodies of the saints which slept arose. This is almost like a what? You know, even everything that was near what was happening right here, this is the power of this thing. People that had already died, when Jesus died, the graves started popping open and cemeteries. I mean, the graves started coming open, and people that had already were dead, came up out of the grave. Verse 53, they came out of the graves after his resurrection and went into the holy city and appeared unto many. Now when the centurion and they that were with him were watching Jesus, when they saw the earthquake and those things that were done, they feared greatly and said, "Truly, this was the Son of God." And many women which were there beholding afar off that followed Jesus from Galilee ministering unto them. Among them was Mary Magdalene and Mary the mother of James and Joseph and the mother of Zebedee's children. And when evening was come, there came a rich man of Arimathea named Joseph, who himself was Jesus' disciple. I'm just getting this ready for the resurrection here. He went to Pilate and he begged for the body of Jesus. Then Pilate commanded the body to be given to them. And when Joseph had taken the body, he wrapped it in a clean linen cloth, laid it in his own new tomb, which he had hewn out in the rock. And he rolled a great stone to the door of the sepulchre, and he departed. And there was Mary Magdalene, the other Mary, sitting over against the sepulchre. Now the next day that followed the day of preparation, the chief priests and Pharisees came together to Pilate. They said, "Sir, we remember that deceiver," talking about Jesus, "that said, while he was alive, after 3 days I will rise again. Command therefore the sepulchre be made sure." I mean, the guy's dead. He's in a tomb. You've put a rock over it. Apparently, you're still not positive about this. They said, "We know he was a deceiver and he was lying about this, but just in case, just in case, and lest his disciples come by night and steal him away and say to the people, 'He's risen from the dead,' so the last error will be worse than the first." Pilate said unto them, "You have a watch, go your way and make it sure as you can." I want to tell you something. The world and the doubters did everything they could to make sure that Jesus wasn't going to rise from the dead and the story of the resurrection get loose. They made it as sure as they can. They killed him on a cross. They put him in a tomb. They put a rock in front of the door. They put men in front of the rock to guard the rock so that they could be sure that none of his disciples came and there was a lie that got loose. But I want you to know today, verse 20, chapter 28 goes on. At the end of the Sabbath, it began to dawn toward the first day of the week. I want to tell you today, you know, the first day of the week is the eighth day. The number eight is significant in Scripture. It means new beginnings. On the eighth day, Every week after that 7 days, there's an eighth day. That's the day of the first day of the week, the beginning of things. I want to tell you today, I don't care if your week's up and things are dark during those 7 days. I'm telling you, your eighth day is coming. The eighth day is coming. Amen. He said, behold, verse 2, there was a great earthquake, and the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon top of it. His countenance, that's not Jesus' countenance, Jesus' angel's countenance, was like lightning. His raiment was white as snow, and fear of the keepers did shake and became as dead men. Hey, the guys that were supposed to be watching the dead man got so freaked out that they acted like dead men. You got one job, watch the dead guy and make sure nobody steals his body. Huh? When the angels came and things started shaking and there was an earthquake and the angel rolled the stone away and the angel sat on top of it, they sat there like dead men themselves. And the angel came, answered, and said unto the women, fear not ye, for I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. But he is not here. He's not at the place where he died. He's not in the tomb. He's not in the same situation. It's not like it was the other day. That's what I want to tell you today. That's why we played that thing about it's Friday, but Sunday's coming. Because I don't care what shape you're in today. I want you to know it's not like it used to be when you get a revelation of the Word. It's not like it was. It's not like it was. It's not like it used to be. That's what he's telling. That's what that angel is telling those ladies, man. Hallelujah. Fear not. It's not. I know you're seeking Jesus who was crucified, but he's not here. For he is risen, as he said, come and see the place where he lay. And go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. And behold, he goes before you into Galilee, and there you will see him. And lo, I have told you. And lo, they departed quickly from the sepulchre with fear and great joy. And they ran to bring his disciples word. And as they went to tell his disciples, behold, Jesus met them and said, all hail. And they came and held him by the feet, and they worshiped him. And then Jesus said unto them, be not afraid. That's what I want to say to the church today. You know, I don't know what you're dealing with, what you're going through, but the power of this Easter is a very pertinent message. And I want to tell you today that you don't have to be afraid because he's risen from the dead. I don't care if you've just lost your loved one like Sister Faye and her family this week. You don't have to be afraid because he's risen. I don't care if you're faith. I don't care what you're going through, what you're battling. I don't care what the biggest devil is in your life. I don't care how dark it is. I don't care if it seems like all hell's breaking loose against you. I don't care if you got a terminal disease. I don't care if you don't have any money. I don't care if you're broke. I don't care if you're a thief on a cross. I want you to know today that you don't have to be afraid. And here's one reason you don't have to be afraid. It's because he came out of the grave and because Christ raised from the dead today. And I just want to tell this church today, I want to tell you that Jesus is going to interrupt our life. And I'm believing today that he is going before us into Galilee. And he has made a way. He's made a way through the pain. He's made a way through the sickness. He's made a way through the darkness. He's made a way through the death. He's made a way through the dying. And we give God thanks today that he is risen from the dead. Let's give him a good shout today. I want to read one more scripture before we close. Come on, Keith and, And Ben, I want to just show you a picture. You know, the resurrection is all through the scripture. I want you to look in 2 Kings, if you would. 2 Kings chapter 13. I want to show you a picture of the resurrection here just for a minute. That's a great picture. Hallelujah. 2 Kings 13. Blessed is his name. I'm not afraid. Say out loud, I'm not afraid.
I'm not afraid.
Because he's risen. Hallelujah. Now, you know that I love, you know, I love teaching Old Testament pictures that have the New Testament truth in it. The resurrection is all through the Old Testament. And this is just a quick couple verses story about the resurrection. And here's what I want to tell you from before we even read the story. I want you to know that because Christ is risen from the dead, whoever touches him with their faith will be raised from the dead. That's just the New Testament, we read that there. Even those that were around him that were already dead, there wasn't any promise to them. I mean, the whole story wasn't about, Jesus didn't say, on the third day I'll raise from the dead and all the people in the graves around me will raise from the dead. That just happened because of the power of the resurrection. They didn't touch him, but they were near him. But I want to tell you, here's what I want to tell you today. I'm telling you, man, if we can get close enough to touch him. That's what happened to the woman with the issue of blood, wasn't it? She went to all the doctors and she got worse. And for all those years, she was dying. But when she got to the place where Jesus was and she touched him, I'm telling you, there was a kind of resurrection in her even before the resurrection. Amen. And so I'm telling you, you know, when I got saved, what happened to me was I just touched him. You know, when you touch him, it doesn't take long. They didn't have to put me on life support for a while to see if I'd get better. They didn't have to call the specialist in to see if somebody else could help him. Dr. Jesus had been there and worked on him a little bit, but he's still kind of in bad shape. No, that's not what happened. I'm telling you, when I called for my doctor, I want to tell you, on the 28th day of July in 1973, I called the doctor. I called the specialist. But it was the specialist that specializes in raising dead people up. And when he got there and I released my faith in him. Listen, man, I was wrecked on drugs and drunk and high and crazy. And that was a culmination of months and years and weeks. But when I got near him and when I touched him, something happened in my life. And I want to show you this in 2 Kings chapter 13. You know this story. This is good. Verse 20. Elisha here is going to be a type of Christ. So it's like when you touch Christ, you live. Watch what happens. Elisha was one of the great prophets. And watch what happens to Elisha's life. And Elisha died. Okay, like he's a picture of Christ. He died. Elisha died. Jesus died. They buried him. They buried Jesus. Huh? Elisha died. They buried him. And the band of Moab of the Moabites invaded the land at the coming year. In other words, things got worse. Our prophet's dead, and things are getting worse. Now the Moabites are invading us. That's what it feels like sometimes when we go through a dark place. And it came to pass, though, in verse 21, that as they were burying a man, they're having a funeral. How many know Jesus is awesome? He could wreck funerals, man. He'll ruin the whole funeral because he'll raise from the dead the guy we're having the funeral for. Wait a minute, we got all these plans. We've done all this work for this funeral. Huh? Jesus is going to ruin that thing. What Jesus is saying is, well, you know, see if you can sell the casket back. See if you can sell the cemetery plot. There was a casket that I was in. And hell was having a funeral. And hell and the devil were saying that I would never have hope. And it was over. I was dead. I was a dead man spiritually. They had the casket. They had my funeral place, man, because nothing good's going to happen. But it came to pass as they were burying a man, behold, they spied a band of men. And they cast the man, as the man they were burying, they cast him into the sepulcher or the tomb of Elijah. Or they threw him in there where Elisha's dead body was. And when the man was let down, in other words, when they let him go into the sepulcher, and when he touched the bones of Elisha, I said when he touched them. I'm talking about Easter. I'm saying if you can get close enough to touch him. If you touch him. Wait a minute, Pastor. Well, Elisha was dead. That's what I, there, can you imagine if you'd have touched him when he was still alive? Elijah was dead, but all the glory and the power of God that he had operated in. Remember, he got a double portion from Elijah, and all that anointing and all that hope and all that resurrection power went into Elisha, and it was down in his spirit. But I'm telling you, it got down farther than his spirit, obviously. It got down in his body, and it went into his blood. It went into his liver and his heart and his lungs, and apparently it got all the way. It soaked down into his bones. I want enough anointing, it's in my bones. I want enough anointing, if they throw you in when I'm dead and gone and I'm finished my course, and they get and you get, I hope that, praise God, wherever they do bury me, I hope that every funeral that they bury around me, every person buried around me, that there's enough glory inside me that everybody they're burying, when they get close to me, gets raised up from the dead and goes to their own after funeral lunch. Whew. That's what I'm talking about. I want to go to my... When the man was let down and touched the bones of Elisha, he revived and stood on his feet. I can't think of a better Easter story to go along. Listen to me. When I was a dead man, but I touched... Now, Elisha was dead. I thought this through. I thought, how much power was in that brother's life when he was alive if that much was in his bones? Whew. When we touch Jesus, we're not just touching his dead body. We're touching his resurrected body. His resurrected person. When I got saved, I'm telling you, they didn't call that doctor, the specialist. I didn't evolve into, well, let's see. We're not sure. Let's just put him on a watch. Let's see how he does here. I'm telling you, when I got outside that party and I knelt down by that little bush and I said, Jesus, help me. I'm telling you, that was in my own way. I was the woman with the issue. I was reaching out and I touched him. And when I touched him, this dead man, like that man right there, when the body of that guy that died, when they threw him in that tomb and Elisha's body was in there, when that one guy's dead body touched Elisha's body, that guy jumped up and he revived and stood on his feet. Can you imagine their faces when he turned around, came walking out of that grave? That's the shock value. I live for shock value today in the earth. That's why I can boldly tell everybody, glory to God, I've been raised from the dead. Let me come tell you about it. I was in a spiritual tomb. I was going down for the last time, but I touched somebody that had been died, that had died and was buried, but rose again from the dead. And when I touched him, how'd you touch him? I said, Jesus, come into my heart and be my Lord and Savior and be my King. And when I touched him like that, I'm telling you, I was like that man that touched Elisha's body. It didn't take 5 minutes. It didn't take 5 seconds. I'm telling you, I remember the moment when I touched him. I remember the moment when I touched him, because because I was dead. How dead were you, Pastor? All the way in my heart. My heart was dead. My heart was empty. I was a dead man, but when I touched him, I'm talking about to emphasize the word. I know that you'd think to emphasize the word touch there, but it's, let's emphasize this other word, when. I mean, when I touched him. I don't have it yet, but I'm kneeling down. I'm getting ready to ask him in my heart. I'm getting ready to trust him, ask the blood to cleanse me. I haven't touched him yet. I'm still dead, but all of a sudden, boom, when there's contact made, when I touch him, suddenly I was raised from the dead. And I stood up on my feet and I revived. Huh? And that's what we're looking for. First, I think we ought to start with the people that are supposed to be alive. That's the church first. Huh? All right, you got me walking and look at me. I said, I think the church ought to touch him again before we ask anybody else to come in and touch him. I think the church needs to touch Jesus again and be like that man that touched Elisha. I think the church needs to reach out and touch him and get revived again by the power of God. Shout out loud, I need to touch him today. I'm going to touch him. Reach up, jump up and stand up right now and reach out and touch him this morning. Touch him today. Reach out and touch him today. Reach out and touch him today. I want to do a different song if we can here, bro. Can we do the Awaken song? The other one? Sorry about that. Hallelujah. Listen, that's what I want. I want the church to touch him. Elbow your neighbor and said, I think he's talking about you. Reach out and touch him today. And when you touch him, hey man, we don't need like a big hug and, you know, we don't need CPR. All we need to do is a touch. Just touch him. Just touch him for a second. Say, I believe on you. I believe today. I'm going to touch him. I'm just going to reach out. Boom, I got it. Because when we touch him, there's enough power in him to raise us from the dead. I think we ought to sing for a moment. Let's put our hands together. Let's talk about him awakening me. Come on. Come on now.
imagodeicincy.com.